I want to again mention that we are happy to have those of you who are visiting with us. For those who are traveling, we hope you will have a safe trip and a careful trip back home. Although, for those who are visiting, I want you to know that our regular preacher is not here today, that he is away visiting with his family, and I am just a substitute. I'm going to put verses on the screen that are covered in the lesson this morning so that you won't have to go through your Bibles looking for the scriptures. It's fine if you want to do that, but I'm going to have the verses on the screen. I will read those because the lesson is being recorded, and I'll read those for the benefit of those who will listen to the lesson later. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. This morning I want to do those things that are right in God's sight. We want to use the word of truth. We have to be cautious that we don't have some idea about the religion and then seek out a verse that justifies that idea. We want to learn the truth and the whole truth. Today is Christmas Day. Everybody here knows it's Christmas Day if you're more than 1 year old. Those who are atheists, many call this Christmas Day. They don't even believe in Christ or God, but they call it Christmas Day. How can we find out the truth about the birth of Christ? Because some people worship Jesus, especially on this day, as the birth of Jesus. Many religious people worship and idolize this day as a special day. Many do not. So what do we know about the birth of Jesus from the scriptures? Well, first we know it was prophesied. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A miraculous birth that was prophesied hundreds of years before it actually happened. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So there we have the location of the birth of Jesus. Shortly before the birth of Jesus, we have promises to Joseph. Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It was also promised to Mary. Luke 1, beginning with verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." So we have the prophecy hundreds of years before, and we have the prophet, the promise shortly before. And then we have an announcement after the birth by angels. Luke 2, beginning with verse 8. "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.'" It was also announced by Simeon. Luke 2, verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.'" So we have the prophecy, and we have the announcement, and we have the promise of the birth of Jesus. So those things we know definitely from the scripture. We have the genealogy of Jesus. Charles talked a little bit this morning about some genealogies. Well, we have the genealogy of Jesus. From Luke, the genealogy goes all the way back to Adam. As you notice, I don't have this scripture listed because it has many names, but I've got a few names listed. And Jesus is starting, and after Jesus it says Joseph, so it was thought. So it was thought that Joseph was Jesus' his biological father, which we know he was not. In Matthew, the genealogy goes all the way back to Abraham. Matthew, it seems, was written primarily to the Jews. The Jews were interested in their genealogy and their father Abraham, and so the genealogy goes all the way back to Abraham. As you notice in Luke's genealogy, it goes back through David and through David's son Nathan. In Matthew's genealogy, the genealogy goes back through David, through David's son Solomon. So one of these genealogies would be from Joseph, his legal father, and the other would be through Mary, his actual mother. Matthew 1:1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. As you see, Matthew starts out very immediately saying, the son of David, the son of Abraham, because that's what the Jews would be interested in, the line from David and from Abraham. When and where was Jesus born? We know some of that from the scripture. Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Another verse about when and where he was born. Matthew 2, verses 1 through 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So these two scriptures tell us several things. It tells us he was born during the time of Augustus and also born during the time of Herod the king. Also tells us he was born in Bethlehem. What it does not tell us yet is more specific things. The Lord is able to give us specific information if he chooses about things. Leviticus 23, verse 5. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. The Lord gave us specific information about the Passover. The month, the day, and the time. Why don't we have more specific information about the birth of Jesus? The scriptures tell us all we need to know. Now, nowadays, things are different. Back then, the Holy Spirit told by prophecy that Mary was going to have a little boy. They didn't have an ultrasound. How would they know he was going to be a little boy except by miraculous revelation? Nowadays, what is the question when you have a baby? How long is he? How much did he weigh? What color are his eyes? Does he have much hair? What color is his hair? We don't know those things about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit told us all we need to know. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. We have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jude 1, 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting to you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. There are more truths from the Bible about Jesus and his birth. He didn't ask us to remember his birthday. I like these computer Bibles because you can search through the scriptures in just an instant, looking for things, looking for words, looking for any kind of information you'd like to find. If you click on one of those concordances and ask about a birthday and celebration, Christ doesn't come up. Jesus didn't teach us to remember his birthday. Jesus taught many, many things in the scriptures. He didn't teach us to remember his birthday. The apostles didn't teach us to remember his birthday. Paul wrote many letters. Peter wrote letters. John wrote letters. All those letters were to churches and to individuals. None mentioned remembering the birthday of Christ. There's no evidence in the scriptures that the church of the New Testament that was guided by the apostles celebrated Christ's birthday. Now, Jesus did ask us to remember something about him, but not his birthday. And we did that this morning already. He asked us to remember his body and blood that was given for us. 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus asked us to remember him, his death, his suffering, his body, and his blood. He didn't ask us to remember his birthday. We see that the church in the New Testament times did just that. Acts chapter 20, verses 7. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So Jesus asked us to remember his body and blood. The church during the time of the apostles remembered his body and blood. Why do some churches celebrate the birth of Jesus? It seems to be a good idea to honor Jesus. Many people enjoy the Christmas worship activities, the shows, the music. It's enlightening to them. It gives them enthusiasm. It gives them enjoyment. Is that okay? Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, beginning with verse 1. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. What did they do here? They had an idea about worship. They seemed to think it was a good idea. God hadn't told them to do this, however. It was their idea. Verse 2. So fire went down from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. It seems that they were trying to worship. They had incense, they had fire. But it was their idea. It wasn't a command of the Lord. There are other good ideas that may not be good. 2 Samuel 6, verses 3. So they set the ark of God on a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir, wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. But what happened here? Well, God had told the Israelites how to carry the ark. There was a special way to carry the ark. He had not told them not to use an ark, or a cart, I'm sorry. He had told them how to carry the ark. Well, David had a new idea. It was a good idea. People wouldn't have to carry that heavy ark. They would just put it on the cart. And that's what they did. It may seem like a good idea, but Uzzah lost his life because the good idea was something that was not based on God's teaching. So some might say, but Jesus did not tell us not to celebrate his birthday. And isn't that right? There's nowhere in the scripture that says, do not celebrate my birthday. There is a principle in the scriptures I call the silence of the scriptures. The Lord's Supper is one example. Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. We did that this morning. We had the cup, which is the fruit of the vine, the grape juice, and we had bread. Most churches, I think, whenever they do the Lord's Supper, do that. He did not say, don't use orange juice. He did not say, don't use apple pie. He gave us what we should do. If we do something else, it's an addition, not commanded by God. Remember Nadab and Abihu and their idea. Another example of the importance of silence in the scriptures concerning Jesus. Hebrews 7 verses 12 through 14. For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. So what does this mean? This means that Jesus could not be a priest under the old law. God spoke nothing about not being able to be a priest because you were a tribe of Judah. He didn't say you can't be a priest because you're a tribe of Judah. He just said, here are the ones who can be priests. So the silence here is, he didn't speak a negative against the tribe of Judah being priest. He just said, who could be priest? So the scripture there was silence. Silence meaning, because God didn't say it couldn't be done, that it would be okay. So that's a quick summary about Jesus, his birth, what we know about his birth, what we know about how he wants to be remembered. Christmas can be a time of joy and comfort, happiness, gift-giving, family get-togethers, and just a delightful time for us all. We do not have to make it a religious holiday, a religious event, and maybe follow into the path that Nadab and Abihu did. If you're here this morning and you have not had the joy of being baptized into Christ, you're not a Christian, you do not have the joy of being a Christian or a follower of Jesus, we ask you to come forward now to the singing of this song.